Zoe asked me to leave the room. She said, quote, Rabbi, I'm sorry, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave now.
If you want a little wisdom, listen to Rabbi Brian. Rabbi Brian!
The setting was Magic Camp. My son, Emmett, it was his first year at camp, and there I am, my 39th year. I'm the dean of instruction. I spend my day in the morning going classroom to classroom, making sure all of the classes are functioning well, see if there's anything I can do to be of help. And I've avoided Emmett's classroom because he's my son, and counselors have told me that he acts a little bit differently when I'm around. Well, it's Wednesday, and I decide I'm going to spend time in Emmett's classroom. Zoe, who used to be a counselor, who used to be a camper of mine, is now a counselor. And she says, Rabbi, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the classroom now. I laughed on my way out the door. I was so proud of her. She came up to me at lunch to apologize. And I said to her, you cannot apologize. What you just did was one of the... Who in the world tells me to leave a classroom? I'm so proud of you, I told her. So proud of you. You took up your authority and you were right. My son acts differently when I'm in the class, and I needed to be out of the class so he could learn as best as he can learn. I told the people who I'm sitting with at lunch that day a story. I said, this reminds me of a story that's written in the Talmud. And it's a famous story every rabbi knows called the Ovens of Ankai. If you just say the Ovens of Ankai, rabbis know exactly the whole story, and I will share it with you. I'll share it with you the way that I shared this story when I was having lunch at Magic Camp after Zoe tried to apologize to me for kicking me out of class. And the rabbis in the story of the Oven of Ankai are debating whether or not this new type of oven, the Oven of Ankai, which is a snake-like, from what we can understand, there was a snake-like design that would heat things up. And I understand it just as well as I understand a modern-day Aga stove. There was something special about it, and the rabbis wanted to know, is this all right for us to use? Is it kosher? Is it deemed fit for our use? And all the rabbis but one vote one way. And there's one rabbi who votes the other. And the rabbis say, do we have the majority? And the one says, no. I am certain that the law is with me. And if so, let this tree prove it. And the tree moves 40 paces. And some say 60. And I love that detail. I love in the story that it says it moved 40 and some say 60, as though that should corroborate that it actually happened, that there's a debate not whether or not it happened, but whether it was 40 feet or 60 feet. And the rabbi said, that's lovely that the tree moved, but that is not the law. The law goes with the majority. And the rabbi, I believe it was Gamliel, said, if the law is with me, let this stream prove it. And the stream, which had been flowing in one direction, changed to flow in the other direction. Obviously, God's will was with the descent. And the rabbis say, no. The law is with us. We are the majority. And finally, the rabbi says, if the law is with me, let the walls of this house prove it. And the walls started to fall in. And then the story goes that out of respect of all the other rabbis, the walls started to fall back out. And that is why, to this day, the walls of that schoolhouse are crooked. I love this story. I love that the rabbis write this story about them having a majority in outvoting God. And the rabbis, the story continues, and this is the beautiful part which will tie back to Zoe. The rabbis ask Elijah. Now, Elijah in the Talmud, in Jewish tradition, Elijah didn't die. He took the fiery chariot, the Merkabah, he took it up to the heavens. And so as he never died, he can talk to God and he can be the interstitiary and he can tell people God's will. And the rabbis say to Elijah when they see him, Elijah, Elijah, tell us, what did God do at that moment when we outvoted God? And let me also quote what the rabbis used as a proof text that God was not in charge. As they quoted in Deuteronomy, where God says, it is not in heaven that you should say who will go up to heaven and do it. And the laws of God are not in the sea, that you need to send someone under the sea to get the laws. But the laws are within you. And the rabbis use that exact quote, it is not in heaven, to say that God doesn't have a vote. The rabbis outvote God with scripture, saying that God self said that it is not in heaven, that it is to us. This is brilliant. And of course, the rabbis are the ones who write the Talmud. So who are they going to have win? Always seemed to me to be quite interesting. And then they continue and they ask Elijah, Elijah, what is it that God did when we announced it is not in heaven, but that we are in charge of the law? And the quote that they write that Elijah said was that God laughed and God said, my children have defeated me. My children have defeated me. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. That God laughed. What happened when God saw that God was bested at the law game by the rabbis? The rabbis didn't write God was upset, but God laughed and said, my children have defeated me. My children have defeated me. And so when Zoe said to me at Magic Camp, Rabbi, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave this classroom, I knew I had the right reaction, and I finally understood this story for what it meant. There's a beauty, a simple, hearty, wholehearted beauty to realizing that our children will surpass us. My children have defeated me. Zoe, you did the right thing. You stood up to me, the rabbi, your counselor, the dean of instruction at Magic Camp. I am so proud, and I understand how I have stood on the shoulders of giants, and that those who come after me, I hope, can stand on my shoulders. I send you a lot of love. I'm Rabbi Brian. Go over to rotb.org if you want to find out about more of Religion Outside the Box. But now I'd like to do a little advertisement for my favorite beer. The Georgetown Brewing Company makes this beer called Bodhisattva. And I love the name of it, obviously. But it's a darn tasty beer. Actually, that's what they say on their packaging. Oh, it doesn't say it on this one. But it says often on their packaging, it says, darn tasty beer. This one doesn't say that. This one says, please refrigerate, warm beer sucks. This is a beautiful beer. I'm not officially sponsored by Georgetown Brewery, but I know they're interested in having a spokesrabbi. They just might not know it yet. Lots of love from me to you.